this road I'm on goes on and on and on. Every mile takes me further from my home. Gotta keep moving, gotta keep on rolling on. I'm moving like a freight train. I gotta keep rolling on. Sight of where I'm going, and I realize I gotta keep rolling on. I made a lot of wrong turns going down a nowhere road. I lost a lot of good friends to that cocaine and dope. I'm moving like a freight train. Gotta keep rolling on. But every time I look back, I lose sight of where I'm going. Then I realize I gotta keep rolling on. Taking everything I own. I'm standing at the crossroads, left praying for my soul. I'm moving like a freight train. Keep rolling on. And every time I look back, I lose sight of where I'm going. And I realize I gotta keep rolling on.
Welcome to WTFRadio.me. We're talking freedom.
Today, I was thinking, and you crossed my mind. In the past, of yesterday. Man, it's been a long, long time. You can't look to tomorrow. You can't live in the past. You gotta take it day by day. If you're ever gonna say love lasts forever. Lord, you couldn't tell by me. You walked away so easy. Lord, I can't, no, I can't break free. Can't look to tomorrow. You can't live in the past. You gotta take it day by day. If you're ever gone. If you're ever gonna last.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Overturf from WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Vaughn Miller. How you doing today, Vaughn?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay, listen, Vaughn is the founder of Prestonwood Polo and Country Club in Oak Point, Texas. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it, and we appreciate WTF Radio. Prestonwood Polo and Country Club is north of Dallas. It's west of Frisco, and north of Dallas, west of Frisco, right near Little Elm, between Denton and Little Elm, and it's essentially in horse country. It's the what we call the Highway 380 corridor. That's the Highway 380 that runs east and west in north Dallas and Tarrant counties, runs from Denton all the way, connects I-35 all the way to Highway 75, Central Expressway, and this we lie right in the heart of that community.
What is that? How did you acquire that location? Was that a family thing, or did y'all just pick it out for the very purpose of that?
That's a good question. Well, actually, what happened was the original polo in Dallas was played at Willow Bend Polo and Hunt Club, founded by the great Norman Brinker. And this was at the end of the North Dallas Tollway, if you can believe this, in the 1980s at the Tollway and Park Lane in Plano, where Willow Bend Mall sits today. That's actually was all farms.
Right,
back in the 80s. Well, Norman went out there. He's a real visionary, obviously, in the restaurant industry, and he's also was a visionary in the polo world. He went out there and built this 200-acre polo club in what people really called the middle of nowhere at that time, and it was a huge success. He, at one time, was the biggest polo club in the world. Can you believe it? Right here in North Dallas. Well, the reason was, at those days, the only place you could drink in Plano was at the Polo Club. That's the only place that had a license, because he was Brinker. You know, he had a license to sell and buy and sell beer and wine. So people would go out there on a Sunday because they couldn't go anywhere else, and he'd draw these huge crowds. And what he really did was he exposed a lot of people to polo that hadn't seen it before.
Right.
Well, fast forward, what happened was, of course, that land value skyrocketed, and it was just too much real estate, and Norman was transitioning in his life, and he decided to sell all that. And a lot of the guys that played with Norman settled in Oak Point, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump, if you will, north of Willow Bend. So, at the, you know, as Willow Bend was north of Dallas, well, Oak Point is north of Dallas, and Frisco and Plano and so forth. It's also out in the growth corridor.
Right.
And another thing about it is the soil. The soil conditions in Oak Point are unlike any other in the state of Texas. It's all deep, sandy loam.
Oh, that's right.
Now, you know, that is perfect for horses, because what happens when a horse is running and so forth, he's putting 1,000 pounds of pressure on the ground, and it's soft on his feet. It doesn't hurt him. They won't get injured. Also, the other great thing about it is if it rains, what happens is the water just goes right through that soil, and you can still play. You can have 5 inches of rain at our place, and we can play that afternoon. It won't hurt the ground. So that's another great reason to be out there. And the other is, it's just a great community. We're in the heart of the growth corridor. We're in the heart of Frisco, Little Elm, Oak Point's all right there around us. So we're in a good area, very accessible to folks.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Norman Brinker. I used to work at Steak and Ale on Spring Valley back before he went with Pillsbury.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So that was the early 70s. So I know quite a bit about his company, and I'm not surprised he had the first liquor license out there, because he was like the mogul of restaurants worldwide. I mean, his training and, you know, his knowledge of how to grow companies and everything else.
Yeah, he sure was. He's a great man, and my wife and I were very close to him and his wife, Tony, before he passed, and he would was very supportive of what we were doing, and glad to see that we did. In fact, our development, just I'll sidebar this real quick, we have 200 acres out there. We're going to develop 21 single-family home lots around the polo field. There'll be nothing like it, and one of the roads we're going to call is Norman Brinker Way.
Is that going to be something similar to what he did up at Willow Bend?
It is.
Housing?
It is similar. We're going to have a housing development that will surround the polo fields, but he decided to sell the fields. Well, we're going to keep the polo field, so you can actually own your own home and overlook polo field, and there's nothing like it actually in the world that we know of today. You cannot buy any real estate in the United States that actually backs up to a polo field. You can get plenty of golf courses.
Yeah, that's right.
But nothing in polo. So we're going to be really unique. It's a really cool deal.
Well, I've seen your land out there. I did some video for you. How many acres is that around the polo field and all that?
Well, a polo field is huge. A polo field is 10 football fields. It's 1,000 feet long by 500 feet wide. Imagine this, 10 football fields. It's 15 acres. So you need that much real estate, because in polo, you've got four players on a side, that's four horses on each team, that's eight players riding horses, and then you have two mounted umpires, so you need a lot of real estate to play the game to begin with, and our development will surround three polo fields, and each home will have a beautiful view of the polo field.
How far are you from Lake Louisville there? I know it's not far.
It's not at all. It's 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes.
Five minutes.
The new bridge has just come across, the new toll bridge. Lake Louisville toll bridge connects us now to I-35, and we're 5 minutes.
So that's going to be like the next Frisco, is that correct?
It really is. It's right in the heart of the growth path, and we're real excited about it.
Okay, well, let's take a little break here. We'll be right back. I'm sitting here with Vaughn Miller. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me.
Gonna sit at the bar and drink a few down. Yeah, there's nothing left to do. Since I don't have you, my baby's gone. You left without a trace. There was no expression says he ain't coming back. Tomorrow is gonna be a sorry day. Heart and headaches that just won't go away. Poor kid going to work instead. My time, and all he ever gave me was a bunch of lies. I know they're all right. But come Saturday night, well, I guess he's really gone this time. There's a lot of truth I'm beginning to find down in the bottom of this glass.
Okay, I'm back. I'm sitting here with Von Miller. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. While we were off for a second there, Von, tell everybody how you got interested and started in polo.
I appreciate it, Jeff. That's a great question. You know, polo is the absolute greatest. Well, to me, it's the greatest sport ever. It's certainly the greatest of the equestrian sports. I got started actually at the age of 35, about 14, 15 years ago in Dallas at a place called Dallas Polo Club. It was founded by Bill Walton. And that's on the south side of Dallas. That's down near Red Oak and parts south in Ellis County. And he called me up and he said, actually, a guy works for him, called him up, super nice guy named Scott Lancaster. Guy calls me up. He says, Vaughn, I want you to come out and take a polo lesson. And I said, I'll think about it. He says, I'll sell you 10 lessons to give you the 10-lesson package. And if you don't like it, you know, I won't call you again. I said, okay, fine. And figure, you come out once a week and take a lesson, 10 lessons, right? I got down there, Jeff, and I came back every day, and in 10 days I had used all 10 lessons, and I was writing a check for my first horse on the 11th day. So that's how much I fell in love with it.
But were you also a horse person before that?
You know, I was not. I was athletic. I was in shape and what have you. You know, I had gotten to a point at 35. I was reasonably successful in business. So I was kind of looking for something to do fun, you know, and there was bicycling and swimming and all these sports and things. And those are all fun. And I do those things, but you know, I just wanted something different and just something about it. Sounded really fun and kind of sexy, and I was
right.
And of course I was single at the time, hey, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I get down there and he gets me on this horse, and I tell you what, I had what they call the polo smile. I had this smile, this grin you could not get off my face. It was so much fun going 1,000 pounds. I'm going 30-35 miles an hour, hitting a little white ball, and I got other guys out there swinging around trying to chase this thing. It was absolutely the funnest thing I've ever done. Well, I fast forward from there. I grew in the sport, and I began to play, you know, what we kind of call amateur polo. We play the amateur. And then I got involved with some pro-am polo. And it was what we call our higher goal.
Right.
In polo, you're a beginner, you give everybody a handicap, like golf. And each year that handicap is reviewed by a committee of players. So, for example, a brand new player is going to start at -2, and the best player in the world is going to be 10 goals. So if you're a -2 and I'm a 10, I got to spot you 12 goals if we go out and play a game.
Right.
You know, that's kind of how it works. Of course, you never play, though, like quite that extreme. Beginner players start at -2, then they go to -1, and then 0, which is A, or amateur. We call 0 players an amateur, and that's hard. Just to get from -2 to 0 is difficult. Well, now I'm 2 goals, and I've been playing 15 years. I probably won't be 3 or 4, I might, but that's about as far as I go. Now, my son, on the sidebar note, Vaughn, Sebastian, he started playing at 11. He'll probably could reach 7 or 8 goals, maybe 10 if he's super lucky. But there's only about 5 10-goal players on the planet.
Oh, really? So yeah. This is like a international type sport.
It is an international sport. Polo is worldwide. It actually started 1,000 years ago on the plains of Persia, and it evolved and migrated into England and into the United States in the 1800s. And it was hugely popular. Polo was hugely popular. I don't know if you know this. In the 1920s and 30s, polo was one of the most popular sports in America. Walt Disney played, actors, Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy, it was really cool to play polo. And they played in, you know, Santa Barbara in California. They played in New York on the island there. And they just recently opened up Governor's Island, played there, and had a big charity match last year. Both Prince, Harry and Charles came over for it. So, you know, polo is actually kind of seeing a resurgence, if you will. It's coming back, and we've tried to make polo also appeal to the masses. You know, it's got this image of kind of pretty woman, you know, and it's exclusive, and that's all fine and well. But what we're doing in Oak Point and at Prestonwood is we're trying to expose it to the masses.
Well, I know one thing as far as that GoPro camera that I hooked up for your matches. That is the coolest GoPro video that I've ever done. I mean, I've done biking, I've done everything, other things, but the sound of those horses running down the field and the wind and everything else, that galloping thunder you hear.
It's actually right. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like that feeling of speed, of control, power. Now you're an animal. You know, Tommy Lee Jones said, the greatest thing a man and a horse can do together is play polo. You know, Winston Churchill said, a polo handicap is a passport to the world. And those are really true things. Our polo is all over the planet, and it's definitely international.
Well, I bet if you can make a deal on a golf course, you can make a bigger deal on a polo field.
That's right. Absolutely right. So what happens is we give everybody a handicap. So beginner players are going to be -2, -1, and 0, and maybe 1. And then after that, you begin to advance in the sport, and then some people turn pro and become pros or no longer amateurs. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm kind of a pro-am player. I give lessons. I teach polo, and I bring new players in. So I'm a professional player, but I don't do it for a living, so I'm not really a pro. I'm really what we call I'm really our club pro.
Okay.
And so I'm the Prestonwood club pro. Basically, where I give lessons, I sell horses, and I teach people how to play. And then there's guys who are purely professional players, and that's all they do for a living, which would be great. I would love to do that if I could, but you know, think about it. You're getting paid to play the funnest sport in the world. And these guys are usually 3, 4, 5, and all the way up to 10 goals.
Well, that guy from South Africa, what would you rate him? The one I was out there videotaping.
He was a pretty good player.
Yeah, he was.
I think he is. He's rated 1.
Oh, okay.
He's rated 1, and he's going up. So to talk about polo a little bit, let's talk about the sport for a minute. Let me give you an overview.
Okay, well, let's take a little break here. We'll be right back, and we'll pick that up where we just stopped. This
Sounds
is
good.
Jeff from WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Vaughn Miller.
You're my dirty little secret. My dirty little secret. Like you do. Each day I pray I forget about you. Even that makes me think about you too. Don't know how you've done it, but you've done me in. I haven't told a soul, even my best friend. If anyone finds out, all the trouble will be in. You are my dirty little secret. I won't tell if you don't tell. Don't know how much longer I can keep it.
Dirty. little secret. My dirty little secret.
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Von Miller. Von, a lot of people out there are very ignorant when it comes to the rules and how the game is played. Could you help everybody a little bit about some of the ins and outs of how the sport's played, what the rules are, what the terms are that they use to describe certain things also?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a lot of this information, too, on our website, Prestonwood Polo. I encourage you to go check it out sometime if you're really interested. And also you can get contact information there about how to get in the sport, unless anybody can do it. But polo is played on an outdoor field. It's called, we call it the a lot of people call it the lawn. You know, we're having a big charity match called Polo on the Lawn. Polo is actually considered a lawn. You know, played out in the lawn of some famous castle and what have you. And so that's kind of the name we call it. Or just call it the polo field. But in the traditional sense, you call it the lawn. And it's played on a boarded field. So this field is 1,000 feet long, and there's two goals on each end of the field. And then on the sides of the field, we have what we call boards. They're wooden boards. They're 12 inches tall, and that's to keep the ball in play. They're on wire so that if they get stepped on, they pop right over. It doesn't hurt the horses. The horses can jump over them very easily, or if the horse steps on it, it doesn't hurt the horse or the rider or anything like that. And these boards keep the ball in play. If the ball goes out, we throw it in from the outside of the boards. But basically, polo has four players a side, and the idea is for your team to score more goals than the other team, obviously. There's four players. So the number one player is usually the most offensive player. That's the guy who you want, who can score goals. You want to send him passes downfield, kind of like a wide receiver in football. The number two player is kind of like a tight end. He does blocking, kind of tackling, and I coach youth football, believe it or not, so I'm going to throw some football analogies in here. But he is your workhorse. He's the guy, the number two is the guy who's going to go play defense and offense. He's going to block players. He's going to push players out. He's an aggressive player. The number three player is usually the best on the team. He's the captain. He's the guy who's going to send the ball downfield, create the strategy, tell people where to go, and so forth. He's usually the highest rated goal player on the field, okay? Then the guy guy behind him is the number four. He's the back. He's the guy playing defense. He is not letting anybody get through to score goals. And he is trying to back that ball. And you want a big hitter back there. Somebody can really send the ball downfield. So what happens is we go to the center of the field and we play a game. And we have two mounted officials, umpires, okay? And they watch over the many rules. There's a lot of rules in polo. But basically what happens is he throws the ball in the middle of the field. And then each team tries to steal that ball and get it towards their goal. After a goal is scored, this is important, we change directions each time. So if you're watching a match, you're going to see the ball, each team go a different way every time a goal is scored so that no player or team has an advantage on field or win conditions. Okay.
Yeah, I did notice that. I never could figure out what was going on with all that. I mean, I thought, well, I kept on thinking I could position myself on this end and they'll be coming that way. And it just, thank God I had a zoom in on the, on the camera.
Yeah, absolutely. That does throw a lot of people off. So again, they change directions each time a goal is scored. And that keeps things even because what happens is when, horses and so they tear up that polo field. So if you've got a big hoof print in a goal mouth, well, that's not fair to one team to be always playing in that goal mouth because the ball could get stuck or bounce left or right. So we switch it, and it makes it even. Now, what happens is a polo game is played, typical polo game is played six periods or what we call chuckers. A chucker is 7 minutes long. A polo horse is usually a thoroughbred. Thoroughbreds can only go about 7 minutes. Now, think about what a thoroughbred's doing. You've seen a racehorse. Like a Kentucky Derby, a racehorse will go full out for a maximum of 2 minutes. A quarter horse in a cutting arena, you've seen what a cutting horse will do back and forth. They'll go for 2 minutes. We're asking a polo pony to do what a cutting horse does and a racehorse does for 7 minutes. So these are the greatest animal athletes in the world. These horses are amazing. They have to be thoroughbreds, usually always thoroughbreds, but we try to get them sometimes with a mix of quarter or other because they're working around other animals. So they have to be kind of good with cattle and livestock. Because in polo, what happens is when the ball is traveling, that ball creates a line forwards and backwards. And you can't cross the line. That's the rule, number one rule in polo, because if you cross a line, the line of the ball, you're going to run another player and kill somebody.
Right.
So we try to avoid that. I shouldn't say kill somebody. You're going to hurt somebody. Not there haven't been that many.
They might wish they're dead.
They might wish they're dead. So what we try to do is all the rules in polo are designed to be around safety. Every rule has something to do with basically creating a safe situation for horse and rider.
Right. Well, I did. So those horses cost more than $100 is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Good polo pony, good thoroughbred, in the North Texas area, it's going to cost you around $10,000 to $15,000. If you go to Florida and you play what we call the high goal where the higher rated players are, those horses can be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, even $100,000 an animal for some of the best in the world.
Right. Well, the racehorses, they're in that ballpark also. They started about 15 to 20,000 and up.
That's right. And you never know what you're going to get with a young horse. You buy a young horse as a racehorse or as a polo player sometimes. You don't know what you're going to get. And so as a polo player myself, I try to get a young horse and I try to train him and get him into polo and see if he can even handle it. And many horses don't work out, but the ones that do are usually very special.
Does bloodline have anything to do with that?
It definitely helps. You definitely want a horse, we want a horse that's got what we call good conformation. That's where you look at the back of the horse and his legs are square. You don't want him going in or out and all this junk. And same thing on the front legs. You want those feet facing front and straight. And then you want to have a lot of muscle. Usually I like a horse with a good long neck, but a low head. I don't want a horse with a real high head getting in my way.
Right.
There's these little things you want to look for, but they're all different. I've had some that don't look good at all, and they're amazing on the polo field. I've had some horses that I can't go practice on, but once I get him in the game, he's amazing. He's a beast. He beats everybody, and he plays wonderful. So, they're beautiful, and they're wonderful creatures, and they're all different. They all have little personalities and things.
Well, athletes are like that, too. There's those that talk it. There's those that practice it. But the main ones are the ones that play it during game time.
That's exactly right.
So horses do the same thing, I guess.
They absolutely do. And, now you go into a field, you have six periods. So each player is going to really need a fresh horse each period. So they're going to come with what we call a string of ponies. If you've heard of that phrase, that euphemism, I have a string of ponies. Well, that's six horses. You want a fresh horse each period. So it gets to be, a little bit costly to do that. But what we do at Prestonwood is we've refined that because we don't expect people to make that kind of investment in sports. So we say, look, get two good horses, And we're going to play four periods, which is plenty of polo. And you can, what we call, double those horses. You can play one the first period, let him rest, and then you come back and play him the second period. And you do that with the other horse.
Now, do you own all those horses they're using out there to these people? Because obviously the guys that came in from South Africa are using somebody else's horses. They're not flying them over here, are they?
No, that's correct. That's correct. I did provide them horses that day, and we usually provide horses, but most of the players that come that are better players have their own strings. And then they board them out at our facility or in facilities around the area, and they truck them in, and they bring their horses in for the polo match.
Okay, well, that sounds really good, Vaughn. Let's take another little break here. We'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and Vaughn Miller.
This is Dina Miller inviting you to bring the family and friends out to Prestonwood Polo Club in Oak Point, Texas, just west of Frisco, 525 Yacht Club Road. Family-friendly Saturday nights begin April 28th, $10 a carload, BYOB and picnic, complimentary champagne for the divot stomp, by Barefoot Bubbly every weekend. Charity events coming up. Polo on the Lawn benefiting Wipe Out Kids Cancer. May 5th, a Kentucky Derby Day theme with the Cinco de Mayo flair. General admission tickets are $45. Purchase snacks and sodas on site or BYOB and picnic for the best picnic, best tailgate, best dressed woman, child, and man contests. Judges are Drew Ginsburg and Tara Harper from Most Eligible Dallas on Bravo and Terry Mascolo from TG Miami Tony and Guy Salon. Join us the following weekend on May 12th for the Child Brain Foundation event. Tickets for that are $75. The rest of the season, $10 a car, except for June 9th when we offer you Polo for the Planet, our environmentally aware fun event, $10 a person. First 150 people, gift bags. Great times ahead for all. Bounce House for Children every weekend. Leash dogs are welcome. Come out and enjoy the beautiful sport of polo.
Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Von Miller. Von, I just noticed that it's kind of a family activity, the polo club you have out there with your wife and your kids and everything. How did that all play in together?
Well, that's interesting you asked that, because it's really been, for us, a field of dreams out there. What happened was I actually met my wife at a polo match. She came down to her first polo match 11 years ago. And I have that date right, honey, I promise. actually, take that back. It was 12 years ago. She came down to her first polo match, and what happened was I was sitting on the sideline because I'd broken my foot. I only had a few injuries in polo, and this was one of them. And she came out, and I just got knocked over. And so she was sitting down, and I was up in the tower, and they had asked me, since my foot was broken, what we call a third man. A third man is up in the tower overlooking the polo field, and if the two refs get in an argument, they go to the third man to settle it, a dispute on the field, and that happens a lot. They go to what we call go to the third man, and that was me in the tower. Well, I wasn't even paying attention to the game when my Dina, now wife, walks up there and is sitting on the sideline. So finally, I ran down there and I was limping, and she was about to leave, and this girl just, and I want to use a word here, I hope it's okay, this girl jumped in front of me and just cock blocked me. She wouldn't let me get by. It was really gross.
This is internet radio. It's okay.
Okay. This girl was really gross, and she had bad breath. I couldn't get it. And I kept looking over her shoulder, and I saw my future wife was walking out and getting in her car. And this girl was, this is kind of a big girl too. And I couldn't see over her. Finally, I just looked her in the girl in the face, and I said, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." And I ran off. And as Dina was getting in the car, I stuck my hand in there and said, "Hey, how'd you like the polo match? My name is Von Miller." And she goes, "Okay, Von Miller, what does that mean?" And that was kind of a Ron Burgundy moment. I was like, "I'm kind of a big deal." You know, she didn't know anything about me.
Right.
And but the rest was history. I took her to see my horses, and we went on our first date 3 days later, and we were instantaneously in love, and we've been together ever since. And it's been a real blessing in my life. And she loves polo. So what happened was, we grew together in the sport, and we had kids. We have two wonderful boys and a girl, and they play, and they love it. It's a very family-friendly activity, because what happens is, Jeff, we all can come out on a Saturday and Sunday and spend the whole day. Everybody can play. Everybody can ride. Everybody can sit on the sidelines and enjoy the activity. So it's extremely family-oriented. It's not like like maybe golf. You know, your dad goes and plays golf. You're not really going to go play with him, you know, whatever. But here, you can. The kids can play in a kids' game, or they can play with adults. You know, we mix it up every week. So it's extremely family-friendly. Well, what happened was, in Dallas, there was a lot of different kind of one-off polo clubs that really weren't clubs after Willow Bend closed. When Willow Bend closed, everything kind of splintered a little bit, and there was no real organized club, and a lot of politics and blah, blah, blah. Well, what happened was, in 2008, we had I had won, my team had won all the tournaments in Dallas. Okay. I was playing what we call that pro-am polo. So I was an amateur playing with professionals, and I won every single game. I was the winningest team in North Texas. Nobody could beat us. We had the best team. Well, what happens in polo is if you start winning, Jeff, you're supposed to raise the guy's handicap, right?
Right.
That's how the handicap can still work. So no one would raise me. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the other thing about polo ops is gigantic egos.
Oh, so, definitely. It's sports.
Exactly.
Athletics.
So here, we don't want this Von Miller to be one or two goals. I was already one, actually. So no one would raise me to two.
Uh-huh.
Because when you get to be two, you're almost like a pro.
Right.
And nobody would want to admit that I was playing at a level of a pro, which I was, because we were winning every single game. And honestly, I'm not going to brag on myself, but when your lowest rated player, which was me, is playing above his grade, that is your advantage. That is where you, that's your weakness. That's where you play to. You play to your strength. That was our strength. So I was playing a lot better than the so-called other sponsor players and what have you. So there was a lot of politics, a lot of animosity created. No one raised me, so we just left. Well, we needed polo, right? So my wife and I bought this wonderful track that was in the middle of all the polo activity in Oak Point, and we built our own club. We put our own field in.
Anyway, we'll be right back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me and Von Miller. Okay, I'm back. This is Jeff Overturf with WTFRadio.me. I'm sitting here with Von. Von, I heard you mention the comment about the Field of Dreams. Tell everybody a little bit about that story.
That's interesting you asked that, because it really is a Field of Dreams for us, just like the movie with Kevin Costner. My wife and I are, you know, we're buying this, we bought this 100 acres in the middle of Oak Point, this good old farm field that we could have grown crops on, and we plowed away and we put a polo field in, and we were interviewed by the 380 Guide magazine, okay? And they came out and they said, "What are y'all doing here? You're putting this polo club up in the middle of Oak Point and you're opening it up to the public?" And we said, "Yeah," and they wrote a story about it. And they put us on the front cover. Now, this magazine, Jeff, goes to all the residents, okay, that live in the communities out there of the Highway 380 area. This is all those towns and homes and so forth that live out there. And we said in the magazine, we're gonna open the club to polo matches on Saturdays. Come out Saturday evening and watch polo. Soon as that story hit, this is on the front page of their magazine, okay? We put a nice picture of Horse and Rider, a great action shot on the cover. The cover photo won an award. The next Saturday, cars started arriving at our freaking polo club, Jeff, a mile long down the road. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. This was amazing. My wife and I are freaking out. We didn't expect these people to show up. And here they're all pulling up. "Where's the polo? We want to see the polo, man." And all these cars, and this showed up. And so my wife and I are scrambling, "Honey, get a tent over here and get tables and chairs." And we're running around like, go get some chicken at Kentucky Fried Chicken and, you know, go get some beer and all this. And all these hundreds of people showed up to tailgate and sit by the side. And so we got the match together and all the polo players were amazed and freaking out. But this is exactly what happened. It really was like a field of dreams. People, if we build it, you will come. And that's what happened. There's nothing like it. And this is A, we were in the middle of horse country. B, all those folks out there, there's nothing for them to do on a Saturday night. In Dallas, there's plenty to do. But when you're in Frisco, Little Elm, and Prosper, Salina, and Aubrey, and Oak Point, and Crossroads, and Denton, there's not really a lot to do on a Saturday night.
Not unless you're going to North Texas.
There you go. Take that back. Sidebar Denton out of
Did
that.
Did y'all have your stand set up then, or was this
No,
before?
we had a mound. That's it. We had a grass mound. Literally, this was a field. This was a pasture. And they showed up to watch this. We suddenly knew at that moment that we had something really special. And we began to build from there. We knew that at that moment, this was something magical that people can really connect to and wanted to be a part of out there. And we began to build it from there.
Well, I've been out there a couple of times, and, you know, at first, I guess everybody was just letting for free. What do y'all have set up there now so people can pay to get in the choice spots now, and y'all have activities? Like, I saw a birthday party out there once.
Yeah.
What do y'all have to offer as far as amenities for people that want to come out and share that experience?
Well, thanks. We do. We have a great couple of packages. We have a beautiful pavilion that we built now, so you can host your own private party in the pavilion for a corporate outing. It's an ideal for a corporate outing or an event or a catered deal. We also have private 24-seat boxes. We have 5 boxes, okay? And you can host your own polo party. Invite your friends for $250. You get 24 seats, your private field side box and a setup picnic table so you can have an event. And that is so popular. We sell that out all the time. And we also donate that a lot to charities and fundraisers and stuff to bring people out. We want people to see the sport and exposure to the sport and so forth. Because once they see it, they get hooked on it. And then you can just show up anytime at $10 a car. You just bring a carload of folks and come on out. We charge $10 a car. You pay at the gate. Or if you want to buy a ticket in advance, you can do that on our website.
So also, I know this for a fact, because of Wyatt, one of the guys you play with, y'all do a lot of instructional stuff as far as teaching people about the game and getting them on horses and teaching them a little bit about the sport also, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We do that same 10-lesson package I talked to you a little while about. Yeah, it's $500. It's $50 a lesson. Or if you want to do just a one-off lesson, it's $100. Everything's provided. You come out, give you the horse, give you the mallet, give you the helmet. You just wear some jeans and tennis shoes. That's all you need. And we'll set you up on a horse. We'll take you about an hour-long lesson, give you the basics of the sport, tell you how to hold the mallet, swing on the horse. We'll put you on our school horses. Our school horses are very safe. I put my kids on them. And then you can learn, see if you like the sport. And I recommend you try the 10-lesson package because you need several times before you really can, you know, figure out if it's something you like. And most people do. Then if you want to get into our what we call our club-level polo, that's where beginners who have taken those 10 lessons and now they're ready to start playing with other players. And we put you into our club, our beginner play, and you begin to learn the sport. And then you can buy a horse, maybe just buy one horse, maybe two. You keep it at our facility, you come out and practice, and you get into the games, and then you play in our tournament polo as we go forward.
Well, So there was a process, I'm sure, that was involved. I mean, at one point you were at the mound. How many years y'all been there now?
We've been there since 2008. So now here we are, 2012. So we've, what is that, 4 years now, and we've just grown leaps and bounds. We started out with maybe 8 players. You know, we had 2 teams. Now we have 6 teams, 35, 40 players. We get hundreds of folks out on a Saturday night. And, you know, think about it. Saturday is a perfect venue to come out on a Saturday. Bring your kids. It's the best tailgate in North Texas. Bring your kids and your family. Sit by the field side or get a box or just come in the pavilion and enjoy yourselves. Nothing like it in North Texas. It is BYOB. We don't sell any alcohol, beer and wine, what have you, but you can certainly bring in your own picnic setup, which a lot of folks really like to do and enjoy doing.
Well, what about you have a country club out there too, also like an indoor facility back behind it where the stables are and everything?
Yeah, well, actually, we're building that. That's on the drawing board right now. That is our plan. We're going to build a clubhouse that will overlook the polo field. Will be right at the corner of the field, so you'll be able to look in both directions from the clubhouse. That's phase two. First, we're going to work on the residential subdivision, get some homes in, and then we'll be able to, as the economy improves, what have you, really build a clubhouse and have more amenities.
So those homeowners will have access to the clubhouse as part of the association, is that correct?
That's correct. They will be entitled to the clubhouse and all the facilities and come out and enjoy polo anytime they want, or just watch it from their backyard.
Well, that's pretty good. How far away are those houses going to be from the field?
They'll abut the field. They'll be like a golf course. So the house will be 50 feet. There's a 50-foot, no-build line behind the fence, abutting the field and the house. So you can build almost up to 50 feet if you want. The actual lot you'll be on will be 1 acre. So you have plenty of real estate to build whatever your dream house you want and then back it up to the field. And also feel like you're in a country environment. But you know what? You're only 20 minutes from Frisco. You're 30 minutes from downtown Dallas. So you get the country feel, but you don't have to do the drive to get there.
Well, I know you have a really top-notch operation out there. It's not exactly well-marked how to get there, though.
It does take a little. You got to figure out a little bit. It does. All the roads are, they're building the roads out there somewhere. But the roads are in, and you're just going to take, if you're coming really from either 35 or North Dallas Tollway, you take El Dorado Parkway, and that goes right into FM 720. So we're just off of FM 720 and McCormick.
Right.
And 525 Yacht Club Road's our address. And you Google it, it'll come right up on any Google iPhone map or Android. It'll pop right up and give you good directions how to get there.
Well, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you as far as to get more information about your facility out there and come out and be a spectator, how would people want to get a hold of you?
Best thing is go to our website, because then you can see the pictures and what it's all about, PrestonWoodPolo.com. You can Google that. It'll come up, or just PrestonWoodPolo.com in your URL. Come right up. You got the phone number, got the email address, and then pictures and videos, and some of your videos will link off of there too, Jeff. And that way you get a real idea of what's involved.
Well, this has been really a good information for my program, and I appreciate you coming on the show. And this is not going to be the last time you're going to be on here. For everybody's information, Dean has been on a couple of shows of mine, and we're going to start up a segment for her also, his wife. And she's a real firecracker. She's got a great voice, and she's got a great sense of humor. And Vaughn here is like the man when it comes to motivation and inspiration. And athletics, tell everybody a little bit about your boot camp.
Thank you. I've been teaching boot camp in Dallas at White Rock Lake for 10 years now, if you can believe this. It was called Body Boot Camp. It was started by a Navy guy back in the 80s. He was the original boot camp guy. I think he was, because he started it in the late 80s, early 90s, before boot camps were even popular. His guy's name was Lieutenant Chuck Howard. Well, I joined it in 1999. I fell in love with it. It was a great workout. You know, he did all the same things as the Navy SEALs do, the Army Rangers do, what have you, 5 days a week training, push-ups, sit-ups, what have you. Well, he retired. Uh-huh. And he said, hey, you want to just take this over? He said, you're my best student. I said, absolutely. I trained under him for 5 years, so I knew all his stuff. I was never in the service, but I always wanted to be. I was one of those tweeners,
right,
where
right.
I wasn't old enough to be in, or it was too young to be in Vietnam, and then there were no wars when I was a 20s, and so I didn't get to be in the service. I guarantee you I would have. Both my father, Air Force Lieutenant, my grandfather, Henry Miller, was World War II veteran, and my uncle, my great-uncle, Jack Miller, was in Carlson's Raiders and killed in Guadalcanal on the beach, and there's a great story. He was posthumously awarded the Silver Star and Medal of Honor, and it's on the SMU website, smu.edu. You can Google Jack Miller. So I've got that in my blood, so I took this class over, and I fell in love with it, and we train 3 days a week out there, and everybody can come out for that.
Well, as far as Henry was concerned, he was also a commercial airline pilot, right?
A commercial real estate.
Oh, commercial.
My father was a pilot, Air Force pilot, and we got our family's in real estate, Henry S. Miller Real Estate, and so we've been doing that since 1914. My great grandfather started it in 1914, over 100 years ago, and so that almost 100 years ago, and it's been a family business. So that's really my day job, if you will, what we do for a living, and we've been, of course, patron sponsors and art sponsors here in Dallas. My grandfather started the Dallas Opera, founder of the Dallas Opera. He and my grandmother Juanita Miller, and then we've given to, you know, hundreds of thousands of charities and fundraisers and so forth.
Well, listen, I've really enjoyed you being on my show today, and we're going to have you back. And, of course, your wife's going to be doing a segment also periodically. But I really appreciate you coming on today, Vaughn, and hope to have you back here soon, okay?
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, let's listen to some more music from WTFRadio.me.
Pick up the pieces of this broken night, head in hand and chin towards the sky. This is the last time we'll say goodbye.
Okay, let's call Tom Seaborn and get a health tip for the day. Let's see how Tom's doing.
Tom Seaborn speaking.
Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy? This is Jeff from WTFRadio.me.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. What's your health tip for this week? What's going on?
Well, Jeff, something that's really important as we get older is we lose fast twitch type 2B fibers. And all that means, Jeff, is that we've got to use those explosive, powerful fibers. What a lot of people do as they age, they start, you know, lifting real light weights and they start doing more endurance type of events. And when they do that, they're neglecting their power fibers, and it's a use it or lose it situation. So whether that means, you know, exploding up from a seated position out of your chair or doing heavier weights in the gym, and by that I mean instead of doing, you know, 15, 20 reps, find a weight that's challenging on that fifth to eighth rep, and you're moving it as quickly as you can, but because it's so heavy, you're not able to move it too fast, but that's still working the fast twitch fibers.
Okay, so the previous reps, you said, could you repeat that again? You said find something that you're comfortable weight with. Could you kind of explain that?
Yeah, what you'll do is you'll choose a weight that you can only get 8 reps instead of about 20 reps.
Right.
For example, if you try to do, you know, some real heavy weight, you may only get 1 rep, and that's going overboard.
Right.
But in that 5 to 8 rep range, you'll be using those fast twitch type 2B fibers. And if we don't use them, we lose them. And as we get older, we need those power fibers, you know, to run after a bus or to explode out of the way of a sidekick or whatever it is we're trying to do.
Or dodge a bullet from a G-man.
You got it. Those are the fast twitch fibers. Yeah.
Right. Well, so is that just mainly for lifting weights, or are there any other exercises that are associated with that, say people that don't have access to weights?
No, everything, Jeff. Great point. In fact, that means everything from playing tennis, which would be fast twitch fibers where you sprint up to the net or explode on a serve, or volleyball or anything. Try to get into the sports that require fast twitch fibers. Now, of course, you have to warm up before you do all of these activities and, you know, prevent your injury type. You know, that's the only thing. You don't want to get out and sprint out the door if you haven't been training. You got to work up to this gradually, start slowly, progress gradually. But I see these older people in the gym, and, you know, they're doing like 25 reps with a weight that's not challenging. So they're losing their fast twitch explosive fibers. So, you know, soccer, sports that require speed and power instead of just long, slow distance. That's kind of what we're saying here.
Right. So the warm-up would be probably a jog or jumping rope or something to get the blood flow into the legs. And
right. Warm up, and then once you're warmed up, you're ready to go. The old myth of stretching before the workout is gone away. But now, of course, if you're going to be kickboxing, stretching would be important. But
right.
Make sure to warm up and then explode through your movements and then do your stretching after the workout.
Well, let's talk about a couple of sports. You mentioned volleyball. What about, I think basketball is pretty good, even if it's half-court basketball, because, you know, you start, stop, and basketball is an indoor sport, so it's something you can do year-round.
Absolutely. Basketball is a perfect example. Yeah.
Have you noticed that the athletes or people that are involved in sports, even recreationally, are people that have a leg up on people that are just training for conditioning? In other words, training with purpose. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what I've found, Jeff, and probably you have too, is that when someone has a goal, like whether that's to finish a 10K or to compete in a martial arts event, then all of a sudden their training goes through the roof, because they're not only just training just to put one leg in front of the other, they're trying to reach an awesome type of a goal, and you're right. So, yeah, if some of your listeners could pick up a sport maybe that they haven't tried before, then that's another way to get those fast twitch fibers to be starting to move again.
Well, you know, I started out with peewee baseball when I was 6 years old. And then when I got in junior high, I picked up football. And then I always played golf since I was 4 years old. And then when I was 16, I got into karate. And I did that, still doing it. So, I mean, 40 years later, here I am still doing it. But I picked up biking like you did.
Yeah. Yeah, biking, you know, you can go either way on that. You could just do endurance, or you could really attack the hills and explode through the heavier chain rings and really work the fast twitch muscle fibers. And that's a great example. I remember Kevin Blackiestone years ago, we did an interview for Dallas Morning News where we were talking about the most athletic individuals in the world, and he's the one that came up with cycling, because he was talking about Tour de France riders being able to do not only the endurance but the fast, powerful sprints. And so they, you know, the Tour de France type riders had it all.
Yeah, and that uphill's murder. I don't care where you are. You hit a hill or you hit the wind, it's work.
You're right. That's the way to get your interval training program in without even trying, by, you know, fighting the wind or the hills. You're exactly right.
You know, I have never known anybody that was a competitor that didn't actually attack their workout.
Yeah.
In other words, people that are just training for cosmetic reasons, because they want to look good, are not the same type of individual as a competitor or somebody who did compete or does compete.
Yeah, when you have that time goal, or you have the weight, you know, where you're trying to lift a certain amount of weight, or whether you're trying to throw a ball as fast as you can, you know, when you're doing that for performance instead of just fitness, then all of a sudden the training does go through the roof. And you know, Jeff, the only problem with that, and you've seen it too, is that sometimes these folks will try to secure any means they can to reach that goal, whether it's steroids or some of the other sports-enhancing techniques, which may not even be legal.
Right.
But you're right. For us weekend warrior types, you know, it's nice to have a sport to train for it. It makes it a lot more, you know, available. You know, we're out there because we have an actual goal instead of just plodding one foot in front of the other.
Plus, we have relationships with other people that are involved in the same activity or sport that kind of keep you moving along.
You know, you're right. And, you know, the sports psychology literature shows that with age, that's one of the reasons people like to still train, is to be training with other people, you know, through affiliation, instead of just going out there, putting on headphones and doing it all by yourself. So, yeah, you're right. It's another great example.
Or talking to the hot chick in the weight machine next to you for 20 minutes instead of training.
Yeah. We see that often enough, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, well, Tom, hey, I appreciate the health tip. I'll be giving you a call again next week, and this will be airing on our next show. But, hey, man, I appreciate your input. This is Jeff Overturf and Tom Seymour.
Took one guitar, I packed one suitcase, I left one sad look on your face, left you alone in the middle of the night, watched your house slowly fade out of sight. But I still can't.
one suitcase, left one sadly.